I want to ask for your prayers and for your attention just a little while this morning. The message I want to share with you is the one that God gave me, and I ask for your prayers. And I want to ask you to turn and read with me, if you would, to the 147th Psalm. And I want to begin reading with the first verse, Psalm 147, verse 1. And I want to go ahead and state the title of the message today will be A New Perspective. Sometimes we get our eyes opened to things, and the Lord does that with us from time to time. And it seems refreshing to see things perhaps in a new light, in a new perspective, or perhaps things that we have known, that we have let slip, to have our minds renewed in those things. And I believe that there are things that are contained in this 147th Psalm that can give us that type of new perspective, or at least renewed perspective, as I said. So Psalm 147, beginning with verse 1, says, "Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcast of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds." Thank the Lord that he does that. "He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise up on the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse, he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion, for he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates, he hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth, his word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool, he scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels, who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them, he causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his words unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord." And I know that that's already been several verses that I've read, but I'd like to invite your attention to another psalm, the 104th Psalm. And I'd like to read there, beginning with verse 13. Keep in mind the things that the psalmist said that are recorded there in the 147th Psalm. But in Psalm 104, verse 13, it says, "He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. A wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted. where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works, and wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. When I was yesterday, when I was studying the 148th Psalm, and the Lord began to place these thoughts upon my heart, I began to think about how that God is always working, always doing things. And I began to realize, I think probably what we all know, that we can have a tendency to put God in a box and make him, at least in our minds, and make him a lot less in our thoughts than what he truly is. And I thank God today for his word. I thank him for the things that he has made known to mankind through his word. But I realize in these things that I have read before you today in God's word, that through his written word is not the only way that God testifies to his creation, of his existence, and of his goodness. The psalmist in the 19th Psalm in verse 1, something that we're all very familiar with, he said, the heavens declare the glory of God. In other words, they speak of that. They testify of that. That declaration is something vocal, though not with human voice, but yet it is that. They declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. In these Psalms that I have read from today, in Psalm 147, in Psalm 104, we see in them, and I believe if we look at things the way that they were written in these Psalms, then it will help us to perhaps gain a greater perspective. And, you know, there are so many things that I think that oftentimes we miss things about God and thoughts that we ought to have about him because that we take things for granted. And we often look at things and we just think, well, that's nothing more than the way that it is. When I studied these things today, or last night rather, and I woke up early today and I went outside early this morning, and there was frost on the ground. And I looked at it differently today than what I may, the way I may often look at it. And I had the thought, and I thought about what the psalmist said, speaking about how that it is God that makes the grass to grow. Now, we may not often think of that when we're out, you know, looking at the green grass, or maybe you're out in the time of year that we do this and you're mowing your grass. You may not think of that way. It may seem like a burden to you. to do that, something that you've got to keep up with. But when you think about what the Bible tells us, then you can look at the grass and you can say, well, God is at work. You know, God made the earth. The Bible teaches us very plainly that He made heaven and earth, that He created all things. And, you know, man has done much to damage that which God has made. And, of course, the greatest way that man did damage to that which God had created was through disobedience and by bringing sin into the world. But we also, oftentimes, we overlook things and we fail to see how that God, not only did He create His earth, not only did He create that which you and I temporarily reside upon, but God is certainly taking care of that which He created. And you may look at the day, and I'm thankful this morning that we have sunshine. I know that God provides that. And we may look at the day and we may look at the rain. And in this in these verses that I read, the Bible even talked in these Psalms about how that the Lord owns and controls the wind. Sometimes we walk out on a windy day and we think nothing more than, oh my gosh, it's really windy out and the wind is making me have a bad hair day. You know, we look at things and we just, oftentimes I think perhaps we think nothing more about them than just to call them the forces of nature. But who controls nature? God is in control of it all. God is in control of all nature, and He has those things at His, they are within His power to use however that He chooses to use them. And so, you know, when we're getting wet and we're complaining about the rain, or we are complaining about the snow and how that perhaps it's causing slippery conditions, we need to realize what the Scriptures tell us about those things. And when you see the rain falling, and it may be making it difficult for you, but we need to understand in all of these things that we can see the hand of God at work. God sends the rain. The Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 55, I believe it gives us there very specific reasons for those. And you know, as human beings, what we have a tendency to do is we complain about it on both ends. You know, when we are without rain, you know, after a while things begin to dry up and we complain about it has gotten so dry and it's so hot, and we just stand in desperate need of rain and we wish that we could have rain. I'm not sure that we get down on our knees and pray for it as much as people used to when they were really, you know, in the days when people really were perhaps more dependent upon it. You know, when they didn't have ways to irrigate and stuff that people do now. But, you know, we complain when there's lack of rain. And then when it has rained too much, we say, oh my goodness, I just, you know, wish that it would quit raining because I can't get out and do the things that I want to get done. But, you know, God, I believe if you read the 55th chapter of Isaiah, you'll find that when God is sending the rain, and He does send it, you not believe that God still controls the rain? Did He not open up the windows of heaven the first time that it ever rained on the earth? Was it not God that sent that rain? Did He not warn Noah that there was going to come a great rain? And in that situation, God used it to bring His wrath upon the world. And perhaps sometimes He still does that very thing. You know, we see great floods and things happening. And as I said a moment ago, I think oftentimes that we think of them as nothing more than nature. But perhaps the Lord still uses those things to bring a message and to make a point. And as he did there in the days of Noah, God opened up the windows of heaven and he began to bring the rain upon the earth. And it rained to the point that it lifted that ark that he had instructed Noah to make, and it drowned those in the flood that were not ready to enter into that ark. Well, God's not going to bring the rain anymore to destroy the world. He promised that he wouldn't. But he is going to bring an end to all things. If you're here today and you're lost, I hope you believe that God is going to bring an end to this world one day. I'm afraid there's a lot of people in the world today that just don't believe that. They just don't believe it. They believe this world will continue on. Many believe that it's already been here for millions and millions of years. I don't believe that myself. There are many that do that believe it's been here for millions and millions of years and believe that it's just going to continue on from generation to generation. But I'll tell you what I believe and what I'll stick with. I'll stick with the book. I'll stick with what the Bible tells me about it, that the day is coming when God is going to send fire and brimstone upon this world. And the Apostle Peter wrote and said, even the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. The earth and the works therein shall be burned up. It's God's, you know it. The earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. You see, God made all things for himself. He made all things for his purpose. Revelation chapter 4 verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And we only benefit from that which God created. I'm thankful today as I stand before you. I'm thankful that the Lord gave me the privilege and the opportunity to live and to live here on his earth and to see the things that I have seen and to be made to know the things that I know that God has allowed me to know and to witness the things that I have. I've told the church several times how that, it has fascinated me the times that I have seen an eagle in flight. How that they soar high above us. And it's so peaceful to watch them with their big wingspan as their wings are stretched out there, and they're just soaring. And I think every time that I've been privileged to see one, I think about how that through the writings of Isaiah, the promise that is given to those that wait upon the Lord, that they'll renew their strength, they'll mount up with wings as eagles. And folks, listen, by the help of God, the things that trouble us in this life, if we'll be patient and we'll pray and we'll wait before God in prayer, we can mount up with wings as eagles, and by the help of God, we can soar high above that which afflicts us, hinders us. Do you see God in the things that are around you? Does that psalm become reality before you when you look up at the sky, no matter what kind of day that it is? Do the things that you see become alive enough before you that psalm becomes a reality unto you when you gaze at the sky or a stream or whatever that it may be? to say, these things are declaring unto me that there is a great creator, that there is a God in heaven. Amen. They did to the psalmist, didn't they? The heavens declare his glory before me, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Do they do that to us? When the rain is falling from heaven, do we look at the rain and we say, the rain that's falling down and watering the earth is testifying to us. It's speaking to us that there is a God in heaven that has created all this, and he is watering his earth and he's taking care of that. Or do we look at that and just complain because our hair is getting wet? Or it's messing up our plans. I'll tell you what, God and the things that he does are a lot bigger than you and I. They're a lot bigger than us. The Lord knows everything that we need. He's aware of everything that we need. You know, the Lord knows exactly, I'm convinced of this, the Lord knows exactly when to send the rain. And when we walk out on one day and it's beautiful and it's sunny and it's the kind of day that makes us, it warms your bones and it inspires you to go out and maybe have some recreation and do things, but then the next day perhaps it's the temperature has dropped and it's cold and it's rainy and it's gloomy. I don't understand why that things change like that. I know one thing, you can't depend much on the weatherman. I've stayed home several days when I wanted to go fishing because they told me it was going to rain. And I stayed home and there the sun was shining. You know what? They're just men, aren't they? God knows all about it. And the Lord knows when to send it. I was impressed with the thought when I read in that psalm how that the lions, the beast, seek their meat from God. In the 50th psalm, God made it known that all the beasts of the field are his. He allows us some ownership in the way of being stewards. But, anybody that's here today that owns cattle, I got news for you. They're God's. Because the Bible tells me he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Lord can provide for us in ways that we cannot provide for ourselves. You know, if the earth is in need of rain, I can't send it. You can't send it. Those things are not within our power, but the Lord can send them. And the earth and all that we see. And so I think in this that we need to reach with our lives as God's people. We need to reach the point where we can say what the psalmist said that we find recorded in the 118th Psalm. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, it doesn't say that this is the beautiful sunny day that the Lord has made. This is the day. Whatever that it is, however that it is, and I'm not just talking in this, and I hope you understand this today, I'm not just talking about the weather. Whatever transpires in our lives in the course of a day, we need to realize that it's the day that the Lord has made, and we need to learn to rejoice in all of it, because The Bible tells me that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God holds our lives in His hand. As I stood this morning and had prayer with Sister Flo, Brother Pillow, I don't think he even knew we were there. But as I stood this morning and had prayer, I realized that, you know, his life, it's not in my hands. It's not in his hands. It's not even in his power. It's in the hands of God. You know, every time that I breathe, every breath that I breathe comes from the Lord. He's in control of it. And I am thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I'm prepared, because I was able several years ago, by the help of God, to just give, you know, to just give way to that in my life, and to just realize that, you know, my life belongs to God. He's the one that gave it to me. He's the one that's keeping it going. He gives me every breath that I breathe, and when He's finished with me, He's going to take me. Job said He'll call and I'll answer, and I believe that's just the way that it is and the way that it will be. And so the Lord is in control of these things. He prepared. I thought about how that God prepared that fish when Jonah was running from Him. He prepared that fish, that great fish, to swallow Jonah. And I'm going to tell you what I believe about it. I don't know what you think about it, but I believe that in the Lord's preparation of that, when they took that Hebrew preacher and threw him into the sea, I believe that God had prepared a fish that knew exactly what it was supposed to do. That fish knew its purpose. In these verses that I read, you notice that the psalmist said the sun knows it's going down. I believe that God took the sun, He created the sun, and He set it there in the sky, and He gave it the command to shine. Shine. And it has been obeying Him ever since. And that fish that He prepared knew exactly that he was to swallow up that disobedient preacher, and he did it. I'm not doing a very good job, but I'm trying to make the point. God knows all things. God has all power, and God has a purpose in everything that we do. Listen, there may be things that happen in your life. I probably shouldn't say maybe. I believe there will be. There will be things that will happen in our lives that we're going to question why. Why? I believe that's only natural. Why did this have to happen? Why did this have to come my way? Why did I have to contract this disease or this, you know, ailment? Why did this happen to me? Well, you know, no matter how hard we search, so often we can't find the answer. But the Lord knows. And He has reasons. I believe God has a reason for everything that He does. And I believe there are things that are common to men that are going to befall us in this life. I want to read this verse to you, these verses to you before I close. Luke chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith. When springtime rolls around again, when you wake up early in the morning to the singing of the little birds outside, that's always peaceful to me, to hear the birds singing. I like to hear people sing too. But when you wake up and you hear those little birds chirping out their song, know this, that they're singing that which God gave them to sing. He didn't have to take out a copyright on it, but he's the owner of the songs that the little birds sing. And there's not a sparrow, the Bible teaches us that there is not a sparrow that will fall to the ground anywhere with what God does not know it. He knows about it. He knows about you and I. He knows us better than we know ourselves. When you step out into the rain, just realize, or the snow, just realize that God is watering that which he created, his earth. It belongs to him. And always remember that we are more valuable than the sparrows. I believe God loved man supremely. I believe he loved man above all that he created. And he will supply our needs according to his riches in glory. If you're here today and you're lost, he knows your need of salvation. He certainly does, and only God can provide it. If God could speak light into existence, he can speak peace to your soul. And those are my thoughts today, and I hope and pray that something has been said that will help you. When I looked at the frost there in my backyard, I realized that while I was laying in my bed sleeping, God was working. God laid that frost up on the ground. The Bible said he did. In the 147th Psalm, that's the Bible said that he did that. God brings the ice. God melts the ice. He does it all. He's always at work. And we need to recognize him for the things that he does. So I appreciate your attention today, and I pray that God will bless you. And I want to again ask you to remember our Christmas program tonight at 6 o'clock.